Turns out Marcus Johansson, the sequel, was way better than the original. We evaluate Marcus Johansson's return to the Minnesota Wild and if he can keep this going next year and beyond on today's episode of Locked On Wild.
You're Locked On Wild. Your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Wild fans? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the new listeners to today's show, we welcome you in and hope that you stick with us through the rest of the offseason. For the everydayers who listen each and every day of the week, we are glad to have you back. Make sure either way that you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms so you don't miss out on any new episodes throughout the rest of the week. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL, and when you enter promo code LockedOnNHL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. On today's episode of Locked On Wild, we evaluate the return to Minnesota for Marcus Johansson, helping provide a spark for the Matt Boldy line and putting up some pretty dynamic numbers throughout the regular season. We'll hand out some letter grades, and we'll look at whether or not Johansson is capable of something similar to this next year and the year after. My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider, and the third piece of the puzzle for the Matt Boldy line, Marcus Johansson, gets his letter grades in today's show. And it is interesting because I remember vividly reacting to the Marcus Johansson trade with a, huh? Bill Guerin was making some moves at the deadline and went and reacquired Marcus Johansson, but could not have gone any better for the Wild throughout the regular season. Now, obviously, with everybody, largely a dud in the postseason, but you can't deny what Johansson was able to give Boldy and Joel Eriksson Ek throughout the final part of the regular season. And it also further exemplifies the fact that Johansson just was not healthy the first time he was here, and it impacted his ability to do a lot of what we saw him be able to do when he returned here fully healthy this time after a couple of seasons returning to the Washington Capitals. Johansson, all told, had 18 total points in 20 games for the Wild, 6 goals and 12 assists. And so he did, in fact, outpace his output for the Wilds from his first stint. Back when he was traded for Eric Staal back in 2020-2021, he had 6 goals, 8 assists that year. It was a minus 10. And so 6 goals, 12 assists this year, and was a plus 6. So Johansson coming in, and let's remember the things that he showed. He showed the speed that he's known for, but great stick-handling abilities and great on-ice vision that just perfectly accentuated what Matt Boldy does on a nightly basis. And you put those guys together with Joel Eriksson Ek, and it's Fiala, Boldy, Goudreau all over again from last season. Those three, all told, well, specifically Boldy and Johansson, courtesy of Brett Marshall, those two finished the season with 22 goals, 4, and 9 goals against in almost 270 minutes in all strengths of ice time. So just dominating in terms of a scoring perspective with what he was able to do. And let's also factor in, Matt Boldy went 0 for goals in February. You go out at the deadline, you grab Marcus Johansson, you put him on that line, and Boldy goes nuts. He has 12 goals in March and finishes with 15 to end the season. Ton of chemistry, and Johansson really could not have looked any better. Now, there are some statistics out there that show that he played at a little bit of an unsustainable rate in that final stretch. There are a couple of reasons that you can put into this, because at that point in the season, Johansson was playing on a Washington Capitals team that was dealing with a ton of injuries, and they were pretty much dead in the water. And so part of it is the getting invigorated by going into a playoff push. That certainly could be part of what we saw from Johansson. Also playing with better line mates when he got here. That certainly is part of it as well, but we do also have to acknowledge that he just played really, really solid with Minnesota when he was brought in here in that trade. Now, a couple of other statistics to look at for Johansson. This tells the story too. Goals 4 per 60 in 5-on-5 situations, 3.95, which was first on the team. Goals against per 60 was 2.09, which is 7th among forwards. Goals for percentage, the percent of time that a goal is scored when a particular player is on the ice, 65.38. That was also 1st amongst Wild forwards. And you're talking about the likes of Kirill Kaprizov. You're talking about the likes of Matt Boldy and others who played the whole season here, and Johansson achieved those marks in 20 games. And even expected goals for per 60 of 2.73, ranking 4th on the team. Expected goals against per 60 was 15th at 2.71. We'll talk about the defense when we get to letter grades, but just every number essentially up and down the list, just solid offensively for Marcus Johansson in his return. And so a great piece. It's not a surprise that Bill Guerin signed him to a 2-year extension worth $2 million per season, because when healthy, Johansson is still a very, very effective player that is going to help this top six and gives you essentially, depending on what happens at center on the top line, your top six is essentially structured in right now for a team with limited funds. And that's going to allow those guys to see if they can do it over the course of a full season, can do what they did in those final 20 games, which was sheer magic out there on the ice. So a great return for Johansson, a great deadline acquisition for Bill Guerin. Didn't work out in the playoffs, but now there is an opportunity to see if it can perform at a similar level through more of a season and see if Marcus Johansson has a better extended stretch here when healthy. That's the big key, is the health. If Johansson comes in healthy, and he did get nicked up at the end of the season, but if he comes in healthy and is able to play, and even if it's 80% of what he brought to the Wild at the deadline, you're talking about a pretty darn good player on that second line. So I liked a lot of what we saw from Johansson. How will it factor in with the letter grades? Well, we'll take a look at that as we continue today's episode of Locked on Wild after this. Attention, active individuals. Are you tired of sacrificing comfort for style when it comes to your activewear? Introducing Bird Dogs, the game changer in athletic shorts. With their unique built-in liner, these shorts offer ultimate support and flexibility, ensuring you stay comfortable during even the most intense workouts. And here's the best part. Bird Dogs are more than just workout gear. They're versatile enough to take you from the gym to the street without skipping a beat. Designed with pockets that actually work, Bird Dogs give you ample space to store your essentials when you're on the move. And guess what? No more chafing or discomfort. Bird Dogs are made with premium, breathable fabric that keeps you cool and dry throughout your activities. Whether you're hitting the trail, crushing it at the gym, or simply lounging around the house, Bird Dogs are the shorts you've been searching for. Don't settle for ordinary shorts. Upgrade to Bird Dogs and experience a whole new level of performance and comfort. Best of all, when you head to birddogs.com/lockedonNHL and you enter promo code LOCKEDONNHL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. Continuing today's episode of Locked On Wild, once again, thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, we will be taking a bit of a look into the Florida Panthers for our special Memorial Day Micheletti Monday episode of Locked On Wild, so you can tune in for that on Monday. Yes, even with Memorial Day, we will still have an episode for you when you're out at the grill, in the car, on the way to the lake, wherever you're at. We'll have you covered for Monday for Locked On Wild. Let's get to the letter grades for Marcus Johansson. And we'll start with the offense. Hard to go with anything but an A for just regular run-of-the-mill 5-on-5 offense, because Johansson, as soon as he was put into the mix, it was like the engine turned and the car took off like it had never missed a beat. Yes, there were struggles for this offense throughout the season. Those have been well documented. But with Johansson in, and at a time in which Kirill Kaprizov was out of the lineup, that was desperately needed for this team to get a spark offensively to kind of lead the way, and Johansson helped, and then some, with that. And so he gets an A for me on offense throughout the course of the regular season. Now, defensively, not as great, but Johansson not known as a great defensive forward. I'm going C- here because there were some moments postseason, as we'll discuss in a little bit. There were some highlight moments in which Johansson kind of got walked on goals, and his expected goals against number being the lowest amongst all 15 forwards that played notable minutes for this team. That's not great. Now, you're playing with Matt Boldy and Joel Eriksson Ek, who are amongst the leaders in that category for the Wild, so he is a little shielded there, but that got exploited in the postseason, and there were some moments down the stretch as well. But again, you're not asking him to be a top-level defensive forward on this team. You have some of those already. So we're going C- here, but it's not as heavily weighted in because, again, he's an offensive forward, and he did that job with this team down the stretch. Now, special teams is interesting because Johansson did score a couple of shorthanded goals. He was asked, especially with Joel Eriksson Ek out of the lineup, he was asked to step in on the power play, and he played a bit on the penalty kill as well. And so he did assist there, but he wasn't really a huge focal point of either group. And so I think what we're going to do here is we're going to go with the C+. I mean, ideally with this team at full strength, everybody healthy, he's not a top power play or penalty kill guy. Could he be a second line power play guy, a second unit power play guy? Yes. Ideally, he probably isn't somebody that's used on the penalty kill really in any situation. And he did contribute on both units, but again, the numbers were middle of the pack in that category. Johansson was brought in to help ignite the 5-on-5 scoring, and he did that. And so we're going C+ for special teams. Postseason, I'm going to go with, I think, a D-. We're going low grades for most of the board. I can't go F fully because he did have a couple of goals, looked great in Game 5. To be fair, who didn't? In Game 3, I beg your pardon. But to be fair, who didn't? And he had, especially in Game 2, he had the highlight of just getting blown right past on one of the goals against Fleury. So he had rough moments in that postseason series. Did get a couple of goals. I'm gonna give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to just say D-. Again, the whole team, by and large, up and down the list, was just not great. And so are you less not great than some of the top guys? Or How do you factor that in? And so with the fact that him and Boldy just could not kind of keep that chemistry going with Freddie Goudreau, with Sam Steele as the centers on that line, you know, it all factors in. So we're going D minus there. And for the course of the overall body of work, I would accept either a B plus or an A minus. I'll probably go B plus, a really solid B plus for Johansson for what he was able to do when reacquired by this team. And so, you know, super solid, not great in the postseason. That's a common theme here. I may as well get that tattooed on my forehead with how things played out for most of the players on this team. So we're going B plus for Johansson. Now, the big questions for him will be, what does next year look like in comparison to what he did over these final 20 games? And so we'll discuss that to finish today's episode of Locked On Wild after a word from our sponsors. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel offers great promotions every single day on one of the most safe and secure apps in the industry. And best of all, when you win, you get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet all of the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Final segment of today's episode of Locked On Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, make sure you tune in for our special Memorial Day Monday episode of Locked On Wild. Alex Micheletti will be joining us as we take a look at how the Florida Panthers are getting to the Stanley Cup Final, how they got this far, and what the Wild can learn from what the Panthers were able to do. We'll dive into that fully for you on Monday here on Locked On Wild. So what's next for Marcus Johansson? So he signed for $2 million this coming season, and then 2024-2025. The biggest questions for Johansson, I think, going into this season is, can he avoid missing games due to injury, which is something that has plagued him for a good stretch of his career? He was hurt the first time he was here. If you look at it, though, in the all told this past season, he played in 80 games, had 19 goals, and had 46 points. You look back to some of his totals for games, 60 games in 2019-2020, 69 games in 2021-2022 with Seattle and also with the Washington Capitals. Didn't have the greatest of game of seasons with Seattle, but then again, they were terrible last year, and was a little better with Washington. And then this year was decent with Washington, was better with the Wild. So what does that look like for Johansson going from a guy who has played? He's played two full seasons in his career. I beg your pardon. 82 games twice. He's played 80 games a couple of other times. So can he build off of an 80-game season this year and replicate that this coming season and the year after that? Because if not, then some of the questions that you have to try to figure out is, who do we put in that spot? How do we replace Johansson in the lineup? And I think the long-term approach for a guy like Marcus Johansson is that he is probably penciled in as a second-line guy right now. I think best-case scenario for the Johansson contract is that by the end of it, and this isn't to say that he falls off and ends up, you know, having to be put lower in the lineup, But I think the hope is that some of these young players in the system are able to elevate to where maybe you say, okay, Johansson is right now a second-line guy, but we got some guys absolutely blowing the doors off down in Iowa, and so maybe by the end of the contract, he ends up being a third-line guy. It's just kind of gazing into the crystal ball and looking down the road for the ultimate aim for this team, which is to just try to cultivate the roster they have by adding youth as opposed to going out and signing players with the limited funds that they have. And so you have injuries. You replace those with young players. And if those young players take spots and don't let them go, well, then you put players that were injured lower in the lineup when they return. So I think the hope for Johansson right now is that he can stay moderately healthy throughout the course of the next couple of seasons. It doesn't have to be 82 full games. Not a lot of players play 82 full game seasons in the NHL. You miss a game here, you miss a game there, that's fine. But if you're missing 10 or 15 games, that's where the trouble comes in. So objective number one for Johansson is to stay relatively healthy throughout the course of this next season and the season beyond. Because as we've seen with a lot of contracts that Bill Guerin hands out, Johansson has a no-trade clause. So Johansson is in, and the only way that you can really move him is to go to him and ask him if he'd be willing to waive it. So beyond that, he's pretty well set, and so you hope then that a player who is probably locked into a spot is able to play the games on the schedule. So health, number one objective. The second objective for Johansson, 18 points in 20 games is a very, very it's an astonishing number of points. You don't necessarily think of Johansson as a point per game player, but he was able to essentially do that here this season. So you go 82 games, that's about a 74 point player on that pace, which for this Wild team would be sensational. Do we think Marcus Johansson gets to that? Probably not. But even if you take 74 points, and yes, I'm doing the math right here because I don't want to be off base in my line of thinking. So let's take 74 points over those 82 games, and let's say he even does 80% of that. Let's say he even does 80%. That's 60 points. So if Marcus Johansson is even 80% as good as what he did this past season, that's a 60-point player on a line with two other 60-point players. Oh, and they all happen to play extraordinarily well together to where they were basically all point-per-game players. So even if you just take a fraction of what they were able to do, that's still a really solid line that you can put behind the Kaprizov line that is going to be able to help this team, who is this year and next year really going to have to operate within some pretty rigid boundaries in terms of financial flexibility. By the way, had to chuckle because I saw on Twitter now that Dallas Stars fans are wondering about the possibility of Ryan Suter getting bought out to take away the final 2 years of his deal with Dallas. And so, just makes you laugh. It just makes you laugh with how that's going. But health for Johansson is number one. Productivity. Again, if you can shoot for like a 60-point player for Johansson, I think this team would take that in a heartbeat. And so if he can hit those numbers as your benchmark for him, then I think we've got ourselves a pretty solid player within that mix. So all in all, a very, very solid return to the Minnesota lineup for Marcus Johansson. And now it's all about getting healthy in the offseason and giving it a go for next season in that top six. And he'll stay in that top six as long as he is productive. And then if he tails off a little bit, well, then we'll see some of the younger guys hopefully get an opportunity to hop up in the lineup as well. So that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day of the week. If you are a first-time listener to Locked On Wild, we thank you for tuning in and hope that you stick with us through the offseason. We've got tons of free agency draft talk coming up throughout the rest of the offseason, so make sure to tune in and follow on your favorite podcast platforms so you don't miss out on any new episodes throughout the rest of the week. If you are an everydayer that tunes in every single day of the week to this show, we thank you as always, and we will catch you again on Monday. Regardless of which category you fall into, make sure to follow us on YouTube, subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms so you don't miss out on any of our new episodes throughout the week. We have new content every Monday through Friday as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.